The Mission Prayer Network recently held a deliverance conference here in Charlotte, and one of the things we did was we included what we call a School of the Prophets. A School of the Prophets is a series of teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and ministry gifts and how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then it's followed by a practicum or a practice session, a time where the folks who have been sitting under the teaching get a chance to actually practice letting the Holy Spirit move through them and letting the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate in them. This is another in the series of teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit during the School of the Prophets.
I believe that one of the other spiritual gifts is intercessions or supplications. You could just call it praying, I guess. I think this is a very important gift for us prayer ministers because we want to pray properly for folks. We want to know how to pray for people. We want to know how to pray the most effective possible way. And we have learned different people need prayer in different ways, and I don't always know what it is. If the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me, I'm just without luck on that, you know. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Timothy is being admonished here by Paul. Pastor Timothy is being told, Pastor Timothy, I expect you to pray and offer prayers and supplications and intercessions for all the folks that are under your care. That's what the Lord expects us to do. And oh, by the way, we need to do that with praise and with worship, see, with petitions and thanksgivings. I think praise and worship is always part of how this gift is offered, okay? The gift of supplications or intercessions. Jeremiah 7, verse 16. In Jeremiah 7, verse 16, he makes a comment here. He says, as for you, do not pray for this people, and do not lift up cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me. What God tells Jeremiah is, stop interceding for this people, because if you keep praying for them, I'm going to have to heal them. And what he's telling us in a roundabout way is that if folks are sick, folks need healing, and nobody's there to intercede for them, they're probably not going to get healed. See? And so if we want to be effective, we need to be praying. Lord, operate through me in that gift of intercession, that gift that Jesus is operating in. And let me tell you how the gift of intercession works, okay? It starts by the Lord showing you somebody or a situation, showing you something specific that he wants you to pray for. And then usually the next thing that happens is the Lord shows you how he wants you to pray for them and what he wants you to pray for them. And then he expects you to pray for them. We were in Scotland on a mission trip a few weeks ago, and we were in a house in a small prayer group, and we were praising and worshiping and praying, and Debbie looked over to a lady that was sitting next to her and said, did you know you're an intercessor? And this lady said, I don't even know what an intercessor is. This lady was fairly new in the Lord. And Debbie said, well, an intercessor is a person that the Lord will begin to speak to them about somebody or show them somebody, and you'll normally feel some compassion for that person, and you'll start praying for them, and he'll show you how to pray for them. And as Debbie is describing this, the other people in the prayer group are going, yeah, that's her. The Lord shows her people all the time and shows her things that she's supposed to pray about. And she said, yeah, matter of fact, Lord showed me somebody the other day, and then 2 weeks later they died. And so I was afraid about this. I didn't know if this was from God or what it was. And all of a sudden I just start thinking of somebody and I'd want to start praying for them. And I didn't know why. We said, well, that's because the Lord wants to use you in intercessions. And so this is that gift, that spiritual gift of intercession. It just comes on you and you need to yield to it. You need to go ahead and pray and intercede for whoever that is. And if you don't know how to intercede for them, If Lord hadn't shown you exactly how to pray for them, well, you just start praying for them in the Spirit. You know, pray for them in tongues. Lamentations 2:14. Actually, we're just going to read the second half of verse 14. Lamentations 2, the last part of it says, "But they have seen for you false and misleading oracles." That word oracle there is literally the Hebrew word burden. And what it's talking about is that sometimes when the Lord comes on you with this gift of intercession, it's like a burden. It's like something heavy has been placed on your shoulders or on your heart. As a matter of fact, my mother was a great prayer warrior, and this was one of the giftings that operated through her a lot. And she'd be standing at the sink in the kitchen washing dishes or something, you know, we'd be in the other room, and all of a sudden we'd hear her start to pray. And sometimes it was pretty loud, and sometimes she'd wail and cry and pray in the Spirit, and she might do that for 30 seconds or 2 minutes, not very long. And then pretty soon she'd stop and she'd wipe her eyes and she'd go back to washing the dishes. And when you'd ask her about it, she said, "Well, I was under a burden for old so-and-so. The Lord just reminded me of so-and-so, and it just, a burden came onto me, and I just had to pray for him." And she would do that. And she knew when that burden lifted that God had accomplished whatever he had wanted her to accomplish in prayer. It was kind of uncanny. Something would be going on in my life. This is after I'd moved out of the house. Something would be going on in my life. I get a phone call. "Danny," Danny's what my mommy called me, okay? "Danny, what's going on up there? Lord's had me praying for you." And sometimes she would know what's going on, you know, because that's this gift of intercession. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 5:5. Can you identify with this? Hearing you in some of this? Understanding some things maybe you didn't understand? 1 Timothy 5:5. "Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day." What Paul is talking about here to Timothy, he's explaining to Timothy that you may have some widows in your church, and they're going to be on the church rolls. And what you'd want to do is you want to put them to work. You want to make sure that they're at that church praying for people all the time. They're interceding for people. This gift of intercession, gift of supplication, gift of praying for other people is a great gift for widows because they got lots of time on their hands, you know, and God can just kind of interrupt them anytime. If you're working at a nursing home and you're taking care of people, you can't just stop what you're doing, you know, in the middle of bathing some old lady and say, "Well, I'll come back and dry you off later. The Lord wants me to pray for somebody right now." You can't do that. So, and the Lord understands that. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. So, this area of the word here, Ephesians 6:18, what's Paul describing in this? This general part of that book. What's he talking about? Come on, somebody help me out. Look at it. What's he talking about? Some of you know by heart. If I said, "Where's the armor of God?" Where would you go? You go to Ephesians 6, right? See, he's talking about spiritual warfare. He's talking about being armored or equipped for spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:18. Part of our fighting equipment, and this is not defensive equipment, this is offensive equipment, right? He says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Supplication, he uses the term supplication there. That's just a prayer petition. It means a specific request. And if you want to be victorious in spiritual warfare, you need to yield to the Holy Spirit and you need to let Him use you in this gift. Every time Debbie and I pray for somebody, we expect to operate in the gift of intercession, the gift of prayer, whatever you want to call this spiritual gift, because we need to know how to pray for that specific person at that specific time. And hopefully the Lord will operate through us with that gift. If we don't operate in that gift, then we're not going to be very effective prayer ministers. But there are more spiritual gifts than that. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's start in on this list that Paul has of spiritual gifts. What's the first spiritual gift that Paul lists there in 1 Corinthians 12? Somebody look it up for me. 1 Corinthians 12. Keep everybody awake, right? What's that first gift he lists? It's in verse 7, 8. Verse 8. Well, these Kenyans can get so quiet sometimes. Man, wisdom, that's right. Matter of fact, he calls it the gift of word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is not about facts. It's not about information. It's not about what you might know. It's about how you might use what you know, or how you might apply the facts in some real life situation for your benefit. And so when the Lord speaks a word of wisdom to somebody, he's not just giving them information, he's telling them what to do with the information that they probably have. I'll give you an example of that. I'm a pilot, as some of you may know, and I have spent some time flying folks down into Guatemala and Mexico for short-term mission trips, down into the jungles of Guatemala and sometimes. And so another pilot, a pastor, knew that I'd gone to Guatemala several times. He was planning a trip down there. And he called me up and asked a very specific question. He said, I'm thinking about going this certain way and stopping at this certain place, and I'm going to get gas there at this place, this little airport, and then we'll go on to our destination. And I'm just calling to find out what you think about that. And as soon as he said that, the Holy Spirit came on me, and I could feel this gift of word of wisdom coming. And the word of wisdom to this man was, don't do that. Don't, under any circumstances, even think about going there, because the chances are you'll get bad gas at this place. Now, you know, if you get bad gas in your car, what happens? You pull over to the side of the road. Well, guess what? When you get bad gas in your airplane, what happens?
You'll come back.
As soon as I hung up with this guy, word of knowledge or word of prophecy had come on Debbie. She was just listening to me, and the Holy Spirit came onto her with one of these spiritual gifts, and she came over to me calling back right now. You got to call him back and tell him, don't go. I said, honey, he has made his mind up, and he's going to do what he's going to do, and I tried my best to talk him out of it. It's done. That man stopped for gas at that airport. He had five people in the airplane with him. They took off from that airport. He got about 500 feet in the air, about a half mile away from that airport, and the engine quit because of the gas. And that airplane crashed into the jungle, caught on fire, and every single one of those people died. Now, that's because he wouldn't listen to a word of wisdom. I just can't tell you how many times God has guided me and my family by using this wonderful gift. And matter of fact, I prayed over the phone with some of y'all, and I know that some of y'all have experienced this word of wisdom coming to you. That's what it is, just one of those gifts.
People who have a tendency of not listening.
You're asking the question, how do you help people that won't listen? If I had been God in that situation, when that guy called, and I knew everything, I'd have said, son, I know that your heart is hard, your ears are hard, and you wouldn't listen if I told you the truth. And so don't bother me. Just hang up and we'll go on and play like you never even called. Because you wouldn't listen anyway. I don't know why you're calling me. That's what I'd have done if I was. But you know, God didn't do that. Poor thing. He's going to hurt himself. I better operate in one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit through one of my servants to try to give this guy some wisdom. He tried. See, my responsibility at that point was just to allow the Holy Spirit to operate through me. And when part was over with, I was done. It was his responsibility then to receive from God. Now, what you can do for somebody that doesn't listen is you can pray, Lord, anoint me to intercede on their behalf. Because interceding does change people's lives. I mean, this was what the prophets did all the time. They were prophesying and interceding on behalf of Israel in hopes that Israel would repent, would change their mind. Of course, Jonah is a little different. Jonah didn't want them to change their mind. He knew, if I start praying for these folks and preaching to them, you know, they're going to... But that's a different story. Most of the prophets, that's what we're praying and interceding for, right? Okay, what's the next gift in the list? Knowledge. There you go. Now, this is about facts and information. I have heard people that don't believe in the modern day gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they'll read this and they'll get real formal, you know, and they'll say, well, this is the gift of being able to go to college and to be able to learn well, and this is what this means, is God... No, man, that's not what that means at all. This is about God giving you knowledge that you couldn't, under any circumstances, otherwise have if God hadn't given it to you. This is not about you learning something, okay, or your ability to learn or anything else. When Debbie told this lady in Scotland, said, did you know you're an intercessor? That was a word of knowledge to her, you see. And as a matter of fact, that lady then, she came to several of our other meetings, and we would also often involve her in praying with other people and gathering around people to pray for them. And it wasn't uncommon at all for her to have a word of knowledge for someone as well. So not only did the Lord want to move through her with this gift of intercession, but through word of knowledge too. Okay.
Sometimes somebody can get confused with knowledge.
So what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Knowledge is about facts and information. If I said, Grace, it's going to rain tomorrow, I'm giving you a piece of information. Okay, that's a fact or a piece of knowledge. If I said, Grace, you need to make sure you carry your umbrella with you tomorrow because it's going to rain. I'm not only telling you it's going to rain, but I'm also telling you to use some wisdom and make sure you're covered, okay? Now, this is what's tricky about some of these gifts, folks, is the Lord may give you one word or two words or a picture, and you don't understand it. And the Lord's telling you to tell this person you're praying for that one word or that picture, and you don't, you know, well, that's silly. That's rocking horse. What would that mean, you know? And yet, when you say it to that person, it means something to them. And this is our tendency. We want to try to interpret it for them. We want to try to help them understand what the Lord's saying to them. Don't do that. Just give them that one word if that's all you've got. Let the Lord interpret it to them. Let the Lord give them revelation and speak to their hearts and to their ears directly when that word of knowledge comes to them. And then he'll be able to accomplish what he wants. This is a very practical gift. I remember not too long ago, I was sitting in a meeting with a bunch of businessmen, and one business guy comes in and he's going to start giving a presentation, and he says, I don't know, a few things, and pretty soon he says something, and the Lord says, he's lying. That was a word of knowledge, you see. It was the Lord telling me what this guy is saying is not the truth. And turns out, it wasn't the truth. But it saved me a lot of pain and suffering because the Lord spoke that to me and I knew them. Sometimes a word of knowledge will even work with finding things, okay? Some of y'all have heard me tell this story. About a month ago, we lost our vegetable peeler. You know, the vegetable peeler is that magic device that you can rub across potatoes and cucumbers and takes the skin off, but it won't cut you. It's not like a knife. It's just a magic thing. And so we lost ours. You got to have a vegetable peeler, right? And so we start praying, Lord, where's our vegetable peeler? And, well, I mean, you laugh. This is what we do. This is how we teach our children about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We say, look, when you lose something, come to us, and we're going to all get together as a family. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us find it. And pretty soon, you'll discover that you have lost your keys, and the kids will be going, hey, Mom, Dad, why don't we pray? And you go, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. See? Well, in this case, we lost the vegetable peeler. It was late at night. And so we got together, we prayed over it, and still didn't know where it was, and we went to bed. The next morning, as soon as I woke up, the Lord said, the vegetable peeler's in the trash can in the kitchen. And I thought, And so I told my wife, and she goes, yeah, well, I'll have to dig through the trash. But it's worth it. It's the vegetable peeler, right? And so she dug down a little bit, and sure enough, there it was. See, that was a word of knowledge. Lord is telling you something you didn't otherwise know. Okay, the next gift is gift of faith. This is a supernatural gift to believe God's promises. Okay, the gift of faith. Let me give you an example in my life. When Debbie and I first got married, I had some warts on my feet. And so Debbie was listening well to the teachings and to the Word, and one of the teachings was that there are curses in the Old Testament. And if you don't serve God, then you have these curses. And if you do serve God, you don't. And then Paul tells us that we have been set free from the curse of the law, right? And so Debbie said, you know, you got warts on your feet. Did you know that those warts are part of the curse? She said, you shouldn't have warts. We've been set free from the curse. You need to pray that the Lord will take those warts away. Okay, yeah, that's right. I'd pray, now lay me down to sleep. They take my warts off my feet, you know, or something, I don't know. And go to bed. And I mean, this went on for months. And at bedtime, Debbie would say, you still have the warts? Yeah, still got the warts. Well, you know, warts are part of the curse. You shouldn't have those warts. You should pray that the Lord will take those warts. Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll do that. Well, this went on for months. Finally, one night, she says that. She said, do you still have warts? Yes, you know they're part of the curse. And all of a sudden, it was like something happened. Something just snapped down on the inside of me. And I knew those warts are part of the curse. I shouldn't have those warts. I'm going to pray that God will take those warts away. And I kind of expected it would probably be, you know, it'd take a while. But the Lord's going to, I knew if I prayed for my feet, the Lord would take those warts off, would heal my feet. As honest as I can be, as honest as I am standing here before you today, I prayed, and Debbie is a widow, I prayed that night. When I got up the next morning, the warts were gone, and where the warts had been, you couldn't even tell there had ever been warts. Okay? That faith didn't come from me. You understand that? It's a spiritual gift. That means it comes from the Holy Spirit. We were in Spartanburg a few Sundays ago, and we had a time where we could pray for folks that were sick. And as soon as we started the prayer time, a guy came up to me and said, I want you to pray over me. I have a hernia, and it's causing me pain, but I need to go do something else right now. So he took off. And as he was leaving, this gift of faith came on me. And I could hardly wait to get my hands on that man, because I knew if he'll let me pray for him, if I touch him, he's going to be healed. And so after about praying for everybody else for about an hour, you know, he finally comes back, and Debbie and I start praying for him. And we prayed for him. We're praying for him about 20 seconds. And he goes, you know, he's like this, just letting us pray for him. And all of a sudden he goes, I feel something moving down there. Something's going on. And the Lord was healing that hernia. And did he? That's the gift of faith in operation. How wonderful it is to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to give you that kind of faith to be effective like that. The problem is, because it is a gift of the Holy Spirit, a spiritual gift, I don't have any control over it. When I start to pray for you, I don't know what gifts the Lord's going to operate. In matter of fact, sometimes Debbie and I will be praying together, and the Lord will operate with me with compassion and mercy, and then He operates with her with discerning of spirits. And so here I am, just heartbroken for these folks, and she said, yeah, they got a demon that needs to be taken care of. See? Well, I didn't know that. The Lord didn't show that to me. Well, maybe next time it'll be just the reverse, just the other way around. That's why it's so wonderful that when you go to pray for somebody, take somebody with you, okay? Take somebody that knows how to pray and how to move in the gifts of the Spirit with you, because you never know how the Lord is going to move. And something that He may want to accomplish, you could never do, but whoever you brought with you can. You see, and y'all will often work together, work complementary. I don't know how many times Debbie and I have been praying for somebody, and I'll say, well, I have a picture. Lord showed me a picture, and I'll describe the picture, and the person will go, okay. You know, like, yeah, it doesn't mean anything to them. And then Debbie will say, well, I don't know what this word means, but the word Lord has given me this one word for you. And as soon as she says that word, they understand what the picture means. It's the two working together, see? And it helps us make sure we understand this isn't us doing this. It's not about how smart we are or how good we are at praying for people, see? This is about the Holy Spirit working through us to accomplish whatever it is the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish. Okay, gifts of healings. This is where the Holy Spirit heals people that you pray for and that you lay hands on. And again, I have heard some very wise Bible scholars, they'll say, well, you know, this is the gift of doctors and the ability to learn medicine and the ability to help people through doctors. And that's what this is talking about here. Well, that's baloney. Doctors don't heal anybody. Matter of fact, sometimes doctors just make us worse. But I mean, all a doctor can do is help take away some symptoms. Sometimes they can tell you what's wrong with you, and sometimes they can't. You know? Listen, doctors, this is the Holy Spirit moving through you in a supernatural way so that when you touch someone, they are healed. This is one of the special gifts for me. I'm used to the idea that when Debbie and I go places, we're going to see this gift work.
We'll break this here for today. Tune in next week for more School of the Prophets and teaching on gifts of the Holy Spirit.